good. I want you to hear my heart. We love you. So it was really neat having my family here. I just need you to know that my kids love LifeSpring. My wife loves LifeSpring. I love LifeSpring. When we talk about you, even when we talk to you to like the people, we talk really well about you. And I just want you to know that, LifeSpring. We honestly love you. That is the truth. And we're so happy to be your pastors. This really is a big day for us, an exciting day. Thank you, Mary, and for Omar, for you guys coming. Misty, for you being here. You guys have really made this special. I'll never forget this. This is a marker in my life. I'll be able to look back at this day and say, you know what? God did something special on that. Something happened on that day. So thank you. And thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this region and in this church. God, just do more. And God, do things that we're not even thinking about. We want it to be bigger and better than we could ever think, ask, or imagine. Do what only you can do, Lord. I want to give a big shout out to my team here. So we had 3 full-time staff. One, you know, we rolled over. One fell off the bed. There's only 2 left. it's me, of course. And then we got Braden Bergeron, who's running sound back there. Braden, love you, Braden. And then we have Julie Ross, who is my part-time bookkeeper. She's probably in over there. She's the one that keeps the church going, keeps it together. But then we also have a volunteer staff here at the church. Volunteer meaning they don't get paid, but staff meaning their responsibilities are really heavy. And I process everything with them. We do church as a team here. There's no lone rangers in the kingdom of God. And so every Monday morning we meet. And on that staff, again, these are volunteers, is, of course, Pastor Mary, Ashley Bergeron, Pete Wilmot, and maybe one of the best pastors in the nation, Pastor Laura Ranow. So thank you for my staff. We have a larger leadership team that includes Grace Nagy, Steve Neff, Jeremy and Lucinda Folsom, Kathy Ford, and the myth, the man, the legend we know as Kent Ross. So thankful. And then, of course, all of you. Man, there's just so many people here that are amazing with all your gifts and your talents. And I could go on and on about the many gifts, the way that God has strategically placed so many of you at this church. I was just thinking about Mark Kincaid the other day, that Mark, often when I'm just having a struggle with a passage or wanting to know insight on the theological level, I can send an email to Mark, and Mark will give me just some really good insight on the word. And I could tell, you know, just 100 stories of how the Lord has strategically placed you here with your gifts and your abilities and your talents. And I'm just so thankful for you, church. I love you, LifeSpring. It's got to be said, on this day, and many of you would agree, on this day, it really is hard that I miss, in so many ways, one of my best friends, Pastor Randy Ford. I really wish he was here. I got a picture of Randy. I mean, that is Randy Ford. That is at the LifeSpring Corral, the LifeSpring Ranch, a few years ago when Mary and I got to sing. That was a Johnny Cash, a June Carter song, right? It Ain't Me, Babe. Man, we've done some sacrilegious things here at the church. And that's Randy's fault. Randy, I got in so much trouble with Pastor Randy Ford. I never got emails and texts and phone calls from people like I did because of Randy. Just all time, one of my favorite people, right-hand man in every way. Before his passing, he went on to be with Jesus May 12th of last year. And I didn't know a second of being a pastor at LifeSpring without him until he passed away. And he got here a week before I did, January of 2010. And wow, what a gift he is. I would not be here without him. And then, of course, really thankful for Pastor Jesse Mendoza. The past few years of pastoring with him, I've learned a lot from him. He is a huge supporter of me. He's defended me in many ways. And he even sent me a text this morning that was so profound and so full of wisdom and truth. And thankful for you, Jesse. I'm assuming you're probably even watching this, but I love you, man. It's interesting. When I first became senior pastor here in 2012, I think I have a picture of me from 2012. Look at that cute couple. So young. Look at the dark hair. (Laughter) And then Addy, she's in the belly there. There's little Ava. Ava, look at you. I love it. You're pointing too. That's just. But I remember telling the Lord, I was like, man, I have so much to say. And it was funny, in that first year, you had to go through some growing pains because I tried to say it all in the sermon. I would talk fast. And I've always talked fast. I'll still talk fast. But I talked fast for like 50 minutes. And some of you just endured that season of my life. But it was wild because I was really stressed. I was like, I just have so much to say, so much to say. And it was in that year that the Lord said, Dan, and he spoke to my heart. This was from the Lord. He said, I'm not going to send you away from LifeSpring until you've said everything I've called you to say. In LifeSpring, I still have a lot to say. So I'm excited to get it going and move into this new season. I was looking back at my sermons from that time, and I found one. It was the first one I did as the senior pastor of LifeSpring. First one. And I just want to read to you what I wrote for the beginning of that sermon. This is, again, this would have been September 2012. I say, a lot has happened since the last time we dived into the book of John, and yet here we are once again. Over the past month, I debated back and forth whether we would finish the book of John or move on to something else, something entirely different. Believe me, there was no easy answer for me in regards to whether we would conclude the book of John or not. We have been in the book of John since May of last year, which, if my math serves me correctly, is 17 months. This is great. Many of you have already expressed your desire for us to move on from the book of John. And then I'm so diplomatic. Look at this. And I say, and I hear you, and I respect your opinion on the matter. That was good. But recently, as I have been praying to the Lord, I believe he has been leading us to finish this book, which is hard in a way, because when you become the senior pastor at an existing church, you want to do the sermon series that's really going to get people excited about the transition. You might talk about the transition of when Joshua took over for Moses to lead the Israelites, or when Paul gave Timothy instructions on how to lead the church in Ephesus. And I considered both of those topics, but instead, this is what the Lord spoke to my heart. This next season at LifeSpring, it's not going to be about the next great thing, the next great leader, or the next great church program, or the next great outreach event. No, this next season is going to be about the same thing the last season was about. Jesus. To some of you, that probably sounds so elementary and simple, but that's our focus. We're a one-trick pony. It's going to be all about Jesus, and we're going to continue to learn how to live a surrendered life that's under his authority and his kingdom. Amen. And if you know me, right, that's me. But I'd say this, if you know LifeSpring, that's LifeSpring. That's us. That's us, right? All of our eggs are in. Jesus changes. This is the Jesus place. All our eggs are in one basket, and Jesus changes everything. But this is what I want to talk about for the next 15 minutes. That, yes, this is the Jesus place, and yes, we are Jesus people. But I want you to hear this. You know this, but I just want to encourage you in this. That, yes, it's here, but it's also not just here. It's out there. It's out there, because we're a Jesus people. And that means wherever we go, guess who's going with us? Jesus. That's one of my favorite things about you. That's what delights me. That's why I love being your pastors. I know this. I have confidence that what is happening here, it doesn't stay within the four walls. I love how you carry Jesus with you. I love, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you carry him into your workplace. Steve Neff, you carry him into your, I just love every one of you, how you carry him into your homes, into your family rooms, your living rooms. You carry him into public places and to secret spaces. I love the way that you walk with Jesus. Think of it this way. When you walk into the room, Jesus walks into the room. I don't know all of you here, but I know a lot of you. And as I consider who you are, again, I'm confident as your pastor. Wherever you go this week, like when you leave this place and you go into whatever you're doing Monday morning, I am confident by the power of the Holy Spirit, you're bringing Jesus. You're bringing Jesus. What does it mean to bring Jesus? To bring his life. To bring his light, to bring his grace, to bring his truth, to bring his salvation. You are bringing Jesus with you. And so as we enter into this next season at LifeSpring, I just want to give a few thoughts. Again, I'm not going to take long, but I want to encourage you as Jesus people. And I'm calling it here and there. Everybody say here Everybody say there. See, the first point is this. We are people of the word. Right here, we are people of the word. If I ever start preaching without preaching from the word, get out of this place. That's a cult. That's, you don't want to be a part of that place. We got to be a people of the word. But we got to be a people of the word, not just here, but out there. The word is truth, and the word is truth absolutely here, but the word is truth out there too. And there is chaos and half-truths and just flat-out lies being spoken again and again out in the world. And so would you bring and carry the truth of God's word with you wherever you go? I don't have this one on the screen, but look at this. This is the New Living Translation. It tells us in 2 Timothy 3 that all scripture is inspired by God, and it is useful to teach us what is true. I want, again, here but there. Think about this, church. To teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Do you need some of that help out there? I think I do. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. We're a people of the word here and there. Secondly, we're a people of prayer. We are a house of prayer. Like, I heard a pastor the other day, he told me that his church doesn't really pray that much. And I didn't say anything in response. I love this man and, you know, we all got our thing. But how could you be a church without being a house of prayer? I mean, come on, LifeSpring. And we are a church of prayer. Somebody the other day said, but you just pray so much. Like you pray here and you pray there and you pray there. There was like seven prayer. And I was like, yes, can I pray for you? We're a house of prayer. I love that about you guys. It's pre-service, it's during service, it's after service, it's parking lot. We're a house of prayer. But also, can we be a people of prayer out there? You guys know the scripture, right? Second Corinthians. That's heresy. There's no Second Corinthians. First Thessalonians, not even close to Second Corinthians. First Thessalonians 5. Look at this. It says, say it with me. Let's just say it together. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. That doesn't just sound like a Sunday morning program to me. I mean, did you catch some of those words? Always, continually, in all circumstances. Not just Sunday morning, but a life, even a lifestyle of prayer. Get in the habit of praying to the Lord morning and night, day and night, night and day. Let incense rise. Yeah, by the way, if that's not your thing right now, ask the Lord. It can be a muscle that you can work on. Say, God, just work on my prayer muscle. I want to learn what it looks like to pray, not just on Sunday mornings, but throughout the week. There's power in the name of Jesus. Did you know that? There's power. I believe that. I get it that not everyone I pray for gets healed, but some do. Come on, some do. I get it. I'm not batting 1,000, but some do. I have been healed through powerful prayers. You guys know I'm a living testimony. February 7th, 2021, radically healed right there. I'd never fallen down in my life, and I fell down 3 times right there with Felicia Dawson praying over me. There's power in prayer. Pray in the name of Jesus. Be bold in your prayers in the name of Jesus. There's power. Again, this life, this world, it's crazy. It's chaos. And it would be crazy and chaos for you to try to live in the world without utilizing the power that you have in the name of Jesus. So we pray here and we pray there. Also, this is a house of worship. I love what you said about worship because I think that is so important to me. So much of our leadership, we're like, we got to make sure that we're always a place where we are worshiping the Lord. And yes, this is a house of worship, but is your life a life of worship? I want you to think about that. I'm challenged in that. When I get really grumpy or just kind of get in a negative place, you know what I'm not doing probably? I'm not worshiping. Worship changes my countenance. It changes my mind. It changes my heart. It is time for worship to break out of the building. Whatever just happened today, can we just come, just like singing and dancing outside of those halls, just saying, no, I'm worshiping the Lord in the car. I'm worshiping the Lord at taco time. I'm worshiping the Lord at my place of business. I'm worshiping the Lord. I think about Jesus talking to that Samaritan woman. We just read this yesterday in our daily reading plan. And he's talking to her and there's this whole thing where he's telling her like, you know, there's going to be a time when you're going to worship the Father neither on this mountain nor the mountain in Jerusalem. And the whole idea is for Jewish people, they said, no, you got to get to Jerusalem. You got to get to where God's presence is to worship him. That's the true proper worship. And yet Jesus says in verse 23 of John chapter 4, he says, a time is coming. He says, and has now come when the true worshipers, anybody want to be a true worshiper? True worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. You're like, man, I wonder what God seeks. I wonder what God wants. What would God want? What does God desire of me? What does God require of me? Well, here you go, church. You know what he's looking for? He's looking for people. People like you and me who would worship him in what? In the spirit. Everybody say spirit. And in truth. Everyone say truth. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. And so, yes, it happens here, but it happens out there too. Can we just commit to that lifestyle of worship? Not just in a temple made by the hands of men and women, but out there, wherever you go, in spirit and truth. You guys know Romans 12, Romans 12:1, such a good scripture. In view of God's mercy, we offer our bodies, all y'all, all your bodies as a collective whole, we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship, but we also do that individually, don't we? It's your life. Again, Sunday morning, I mean, I can do anything for about 90 minutes. But can I do it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Because the lifestyle of worship, because now we're talking about how I actually treat you, how I talk to you, how I serve you, how I love you. It is offering my life, like top of my head to the bottom of the soles of my mind and my heart and my spirit and my soul, everything that I am, as a sacrifice, as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That is what God requires of us. That's what Jesus' people do. Can we commit to that, church, that worship would break out of here? And we'd be a living sacrifice every day of our lives. And then the final one is this. We must be people of the Spirit. Here and out there. I love how the Spirit moves in this place. Thursday night, we had shofars being blown. I'm not going to say who it was. One of my friends, he got so knocked off his feet by the Lord that his sandals fell off. God is moving all over this region. God is moving. There in Milton, there was a two-week revival just the last couple of weeks. God is moving in this region. I love how the Spirit is moving in churches like ours. I love how he shows up when we gather. In fact, 1 Corinthians 12, we did a whole series on this. We did it based on Steve Shell's book, The Promise of the Father. But look what he says in 1 Corinthians 12. And this is about when we gather, like Thursday night, like this morning, like over at Faith Family. It says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So the Spirit begins to move when we gather. And it's for the common good. Aren't you thankful for that? And he says in verse 8, to one, there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. Even to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. And it's beautiful. He says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And the Spirit distributes them to each one just as he determines. And that's what happens when we gather. Spirit begins to give each one of us these different gifts, and it's beautiful, and we're built up, and we're encouraged, and it's for the common good. Paul goes on to say that we're all baptized by one Spirit, he says, to form one body. And when he describes that body, he says it's actually the body of Christ. I'm so happy to be a part of a church. I love the church. You guys know that. I'm a big fan of the church. It is the place where the Spirit moves, and we see the body of Christ. But then how is the Spirit manifesting and moving outside of this room? It'd be so silly if we made it all about a Sunday morning or a Thursday night experience. How shallow that would be. It's almost like we're just kind of belittling what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus, by the cross and the resurrection, Jesus, by sitting at the right hand of the Father and asking him to baptize us with the Holy Spirit, by what he did, it's not just for a Sunday morning experience where we get some goosebumps. It's for daily empowered living by the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Resurrection power flowing through us. But what does that look like? I mean, this world needs people of the Spirit. I speak that over every one of you in this room. This world needs people of the Spirit. They need not only the gifts of the Spirit, they need the fruit of the Spirit. Come on. They need people who are awake and alive, who have the joy of the Lord as their strength, awake and alive in the Spirit. And here's the deal, and I'm commissioning you in many ways, to show up in places that are so dark and so wicked and so depressed and so heavy and so defeated, these places and spaces need people just like you who are full of the life-giving presence of God, who are willing and brave enough to share the life-giving message of Jesus Christ. I think of the story of Stephen. Stephen, he was chosen to take care of the widows. Do you remember why he was chosen to take care of the widows? It says because he was full of wisdom or full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. So think of it this way. With Stephen, he would gather. Sure, they would gather together. They'd break bread together. They'd pray together. They'd learn from scriptures together. But then he would leave the gathering. When he left the gathering, the Holy Spirit didn't just stay in the room. They're like, well, good luck, Stephen. Good luck. Hope you don't screw it up. Who went with Stephen when he went out that room? It's so important you understand this. Who went with him? The Holy Spirit. Because he was known as what? A man who was full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. This is so important to remember. You are full of the Holy Spirit. If you don't think you're full of the Holy Spirit, get full of the Holy Spirit. Because you're going to get into places and spaces where you're going to need to be full of the Holy Spirit. Stephen, he's before the Sanhedrin, Acts chapter 6. They're not like impressed with Stephen. They're not really a big fan of Stephen. And yet it says when they saw Stephen's face, they saw his face was like the face of an angel. You know what that makes me think of? That makes me think that maybe Stephen was with God or had been with God. It makes me think of Moses. You remember when Moses saw the Lord face to face and something happened, right? The glory of the Lord did something to his face. I believe the same thing for Stephen here. And they asked Stephen a question. He gives a powerful answer. And they didn't say, you know, thanks, Stephen, for sharing. And that was very insightful and delightful. No, they said, let's kill him. Look at this. Verse 54 of chapter 7. When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious. They gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, he looked up to heaven. He saw the glory of God. He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Oh, but they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they rushed at him. They dragged him out of the city. They began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. And while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he fell on his knees and he cried out. Man, what would you be tempted to cry out with your last words on this earth? And yet full of the Holy Spirit, what did he cry out? He said, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Like, who does that? Who says, are you kidding me? But who does that sound like? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's Jesus. And by the power of the Spirit, full of the Spirit, Stephen sounds and acts and looks a whole lot like Jesus because he's a Jesus person. And not just in the safety of a room like this, but in the real world full of people who didn't like what he had to say. And yet he did it. Praise the Lord. Aren't you thankful that he did it? We're still radically being influenced 2,000 years later by the life of Stephen. Church, listen, he did it and you can do it too. That's not just like, well, wow, way to go, Stephen. I could never. No, you can, because you are full of the Holy Spirit. And by the power of the Spirit, you can do what the Lord is calling and asking you to do. For us, what does that look like? That's in the ER room. You've waited 4, 5, 6 hours. It's on I-5. We had to go to Bothell on Thursday. There was traffic on the way up. There was traffic on the way down. I'm assuming there's just always traffic on I-5 to Bothell. It was crazy. When the basement floods, when the tire is flat, this is when you need the Spirit. When you're at Safeway and the sign clearly says 15 items or less, and you've counted and she's got 20. But it's right there when you need the Spirit. It's right there when it is vital that you're living the Spirit-empowered, Spirit-led Jesus life. It matters so very much. With everything going on globally, there's a lot going on. With everything going on in our nation, there's a lot going on. Even in our region, in the Seattle area, this is where the attack is. The attack is straight at the attitude and postures of our heart. That's where the attack has been. He's trying to get at my heart. And so we need the Holy Spirit's help. We need the Spirit, not just here, but out there, to continue to point us back to Jesus, to continue to point us back, not just to the gifts of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit, to have the Spirit help us get my eyes. I'm looking at everything and anything, and the Holy Spirit's like, Dan, come on, look over here. Look, I'm just wandering. He's like, no, Dan, come over here. In fact, I got to convict you now, Dan, because I need you to get your eyes on Jesus, because you're not going to make it unless you got Jesus. You're a Jesus person. I get that all that other stuff matters, but nothing matters compared to being a Jesus person. Fall in love with Jesus again. Life Spring Church for this next season. If you're not there, if you have bitterness or anger or hurt in your heart, let Jesus bring you a whole salvation, a healing salvation. Let him do whatever he needs to do in your life, because there's no way you're going to make it in this next season without radically surrendering to the precious, precious one that I know, my Savior, my Lord, Jesus Christ. Let's commit to him. Let's commit to him and his Spirit. I'm telling you, church, you commit to these things. You commit to living a life of the Word. You commit to living a life of prayer and worship full of the Spirit. I want to say this over you. You're going to be okay. Do you hear me? You're going to be okay. A lot of Christians are like, we're not okay. Take a deep breath. You got the King of Kings and Lord of Lords on your side. You're going to be okay. And even if the worst happens, even if your story ends like Stephen, where they end up taking his life, I'll say it again, you're going to be okay. Jesus really did change everything. And where sin brought death, Jesus brought life. You have life, eternal life in Jesus. He made a way where there seemed to be no way. He forgave you of all your sins. He baptized you with the Spirit. He made you new. Are anybody born again here in this room, regenerated by the Spirit, made new with a new destiny and a new calling and new gifts? And even death itself, hear me out, even death itself cannot separate you from the love of God that is found in Christ Jesus. You've got life that will not end. So you, my friend, you, child of God, son and daughter of God, be a brilliant light that shines brightly in a dark world. Shine the light of Christ. See, none of us know, including myself, none of us know how many days we've got left on this earth. But I'm still here. I got today. You've got today. And I'm going to choose to shine. Let's shine the light of Christ, and let's be Jesus people here and there. Would you stand with me? I want to pray for us. Holy Spirit of God, just put your hands out in a receiving posture. Holy Spirit of God, you're already here. But some of us, we just need to open our hearts again to you, Lord. We need to give permission to you again, Lord, to move in a mighty way. Lord, there's the reality with us, as you've walked earth long enough, there's a thing called wisdom. And wisdom can be good, but also wisdom can be very paralyzing. Because there's a wisdom that says, well, God can't do that because I remember what happened in 1984. Or I'm afraid of God doing that because I know that's what happened in 2006. And Lord, yet there's something of your Spirit that is speaking over us right now that says, yes, sure, but what if that is hampering you and hindering you from what I want to do in 2024? And so, Lord, would you break down those walls? If there's healing that needs to take place, then heal us in the name of Jesus. If there's new giftings that need to take place, then Spirit, give us new giftings in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is, Lord, I just pray that all barriers and walls will be removed from this congregation as we head into this new season. That we would be open to your Spirit's move. That there are some of us that are, even now, we are hearing from you. You're speaking in this service. You are speaking to our hearts. And yet there's that temptation to just snuff it out and push it down. And I think the Lord would speak to you so tenderly with love and care. And he'd whisper to you today and say, my son, my daughter, do not quench my Spirit. Do not hinder what I am going to do. Because I'm going to do it in you, through you, or in spite of you. But I'd much rather do it with you. And so if that's you, church, just right now, be open. Stay open. I get it. Tough things have happened. Hard things have happened. Painful things have happened. Disappointment has happened. Discouragement has happened. But right now, the Lord is calling you to a greater story in Christ. Give him permission. We give you permission, Holy Spirit. Empower us. Move in us. And lead us into this next season. that many, many lost people would be found, blind people would see, lame would walk, that the family of God, oh, many souls. I just thank you for Zach being here today, Lord. May Zach be a catalyst of 1,000 souls coming to you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.